Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Your host, Overseer Janice Ward. And I thank you, all of you that are able to tune in on tonight. You're coming in, 8 o'clock, hallelujah. And I just thank God for this opportunity, this platform, this podium to bring unto you the divine word of truth. And I hope and pray that all was well in your family circle on today. I am so delighted to be able to come into your workspace. I'm just jubilant coming into your living room area. And then being able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old ship of Zion on your radio dial. And I just, like I first stated, I just hope and pray that you had a beautiful day today and all is well in your family circle. And continually to be well. And I'm asking those of you to bow your heads with me as we acknowledge the one and the only, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Will you bow your beautiful heads if you will? Father God, hallelujah, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for sending us together in unity once again around the spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly domain is not our permanent home, God. We know that you have lying in wait, Father God, a mansion that's not built by mortal man, God. You are its architect. You are its creator. Hallelujah, God, and until you come through those clouds one historical day, God. We'll be coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a living word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquities. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm asking you, Father God, grace me your servant with words of encouragement and words of wisdom. Those that are hurting deep within the pit of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. And we all, as children of God, shall say amen and amen. And I have now opened up the switchboard lines. You are welcome to call in, and our call-in number is 646-230-74. That number again is 646-234. You're welcome to call in and talk with the host, and may God richly bless you, you, and you that just so faithfully tune in to the old ship of Zion. As I first stated, God blesses a cheerful giver. Whatever you've taken out to render unto God, God is going to bless you. God never just look for us to do anything. And if we do anything for God, for the glory and honor of God, then God will surely reward us. Not that he owes us anything, but he's just God like that. And I just thank all of you, you beautiful, beautiful souls all around the world. I just want you to know on tonight hallelujah, that you are just loved. You're loved. And I tell you, my heart just goes out to you because, you know, we're family. And not only is we family, but we are children of God. And God wants us to all be in unity. God don't want us divided and all just stringing along. But God wants us all on one accord, loving one unto another. I just can't stress that enough. For we all need someone. There's no human that's living that can say, I don't need anyone. I got all the money that I need, and I don't need anyone. But I come to encourage your heart tonight that if we didn't need anyone, then it would only be one individual in this whole world. Wouldn't be no need for the rest of us. But see, God saw differently. God knew that we would need each other to encourage, to cry on one another's shoulders, and just, you know, to be there in the midst of our storms. We need each other. And the Bible says that no man lives to himself, and no man dieth to him or herself. You know, when our loved ones die and leave this earth, there is no humanly way that that person can dress him or herself, then go on down to the funeral home or the chapel, put him or herself in the coffin, do him or her own eulogy, then carry him or herself onto the gravesite. We have to have someone to do those arrangements for us. So that means that we need someone. We need somebody to speak over us. Whatever we have done in that life, may it be good or not so good. So I just come to encourage your heart tonight that we need each other. We are people needing people. Hallelujah. And I just want you out there in my live podcast audience on tonight that you are just, I mean, you're awesome. I just thank God for you. And don't think that you're gone unnoticed, because I see you in the spirit realm and God see you in the heavenly realm. And God is going to bless you as I first stated earlier. And I will be with you tonight, 30 minutes on the clock. And our sermon on tonight, entitled, Born for a Purpose, Eternally God. I'll repeat that. Born for a Purpose, Eternally God. And some of you might ponder the thought of, Overseer Ward, why am I here? Why did God create me? Look like I'm just no existent to anyone. I live alone. I'm a widow. I'm a single parent, single dad. But I come to encourage your heart on tonight. God created you for his purpose, for his own interests and his interests alone. God created you and God created me. And each, every one of us has an itinerary, a list of things that God wants us to do, some duties that God wants us to perform. So you're in this world because God loves you unto the POD, and that is, my friend, point of death. God loved you so much that he sent all that he had. He sent Jesus Christ of Nazareth his only begotten son. And you know, when you have only one of anything, you cherish that. May it be one pair of shoes for church, one pair of dress shoes, one pair of work shoes, one pair of bed slippers. You're going to take the utmost care of those three sets of shoes, because that's all you have until God blesses you with more. Well, God sent his only begotten son, and that's all he had. Wasn't anybody else equipped to go and be spread it wide, and they hung him high on Calvary Cross, because the person had to meet certain criteria. It had to be holy, had to be spotless. So there wasn't anyone that could meet that iota but Jesus. And so he loved us to the point of death. And each and every one of us have an itinerary that God wants you to do. And you might say, well, Overseer Ward, I don't know what I want to do. Well, you know, I would just suggest you go in prayer and talk to God about it. And maybe he will talk with you on what he would want you to do. And you can come up with a solution. You know, maybe it's street ministry and witnessing. Maybe it's going in a convalescent home. Maybe it's going in the behind the prison walls, you know. But whatever it is that God has for you, I would inquire with God on what he would have for me to do. And so we're going to go right now on into our scheduled program. And we know that, you know, increasingly, self-centered, self-indulgent, pleasure-oriented, hallelujah, society. People are not knocking down doors to find divine purpose in their lives. Financial independence, professional success, social recognition, social acceptance, yes, but not divine purpose. To search for divine purpose in our lives would mean having to remove ourselves from the center focus and embrace the idea of a God-centered life, one in which God gives us purpose and direction. It would mean having to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, who am I and who has God created me to be? What is my purpose in life? It would mean having to take a position between pursuing our own personal self-interest or confronting the issues of social justice and mortality that we face in our nation today. Amid the corroding influence of sin and immortality in the nation of Israel, God moved Jeremiah to give to his own purpose in life. God told Jeremiah that even before the prophet had come out of his mother's womb, God had sanctified and ordained him to be God's voice to the nation. But even then, Jeremiah was not willing to accept the responsibility of addressing the social ills of the nation. In fact, he tried to evade God's direction by claiming to be too young to be a prophet. We know that Jeremiah knew that accepting the office of prophet would require him to take an unpopular position. But God told him not to fear, because he would be with him. And we know that God has ordained all of us for some special purpose. Finding out what that purpose is takes courage and a willingness to listen to the cues God has given us. And accepting God's divine purpose for our lives, often it means having to take an unpopular social position, even at home, even in our communities, also in our workplace and in our nation. But we have comfort in knowledge, in knowing, I'm sorry, that God is with us as he was with Jeremiah. So I would say to you on today, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Hallelujah, says the Lord. That's found in the law of Jeremiah 1 and 8. Hallelujah, Jesus. So whatever it is that you want to do for God, may it be ushering in the church, passing around the offering plate, singing, opening up a prayer line. Whatever it is that you can find your hands to do, God would be so appreciative unto you. And so, our sermon again tonight is born for a purpose. Eternally, God. And as I first stated, our switchboard lines are open. Anyone wanting to call in, you're welcome to do so. Any of you that might have a prayer petition, you want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're encouraged to call in at the end of the program. May God bless you and you and you. And our number into the studio is 646-230-74. 646-230-74. And our key scripture is, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for every single thing that you have done in my life and in the lives of the saints of God. And our first key scripture is coming out of the law of Matthew 5 and 3. And it reads like this. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we find out, thank you, Jesus, that many people living in our twilight years suddenly realize how empty and pointless their lives has been. They've made some successful business deals and have had some fun, but in terms of satisfying friendship or lasting accomplishments, their lives has been zero. They have climbed the ladder of success only to discover that all the while it had been leaning against the wrong wall. We know that as the Apostle Paul looked back on his ministry, he saw that it has been reward but not easy. And we know that if our reward is measured by the world yardstick of success, his life seemed almost insignificant. Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy while languishing in a cold, damp dungeon. He was awaiting execution. A matter of weeks, the apostle would stand before Nero, the half-insane emperor of Rome, and his life would end. But he knew that after his death, he would receive the crown of life from the King of Kings. And we now know that the influence of his life changed the course of history itself. We know that an ancient historian would have written volumes about the splendor of Nero and probably never even mentioned Paul. But yet today, we name our dogs Nero, and we name our sons Paul. I guess what we live for is pretty important after all. Hallelujah. So we would ask the Lord, one life to live for Christ, my Lord. One life to do my part. One life in which to give my all with fervency of heart. And we find out is no lovers. I'm sorry. There is no losers with Jesus. And there is no winners with the devil. Hallelujah. We're going to go to our second key scripture. Hallelujah. And it reads like this. Thank you, Jesus. It says that, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receive the prize? So I would suggest you to run in such a way that you might obtain it. That's found in the law of 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Hallelujah. And we know that having goals in life can give us the purpose, and it can give us the drive to accomplish something truly valuable. This principle is especially helpful in our lives as believers in Christ. As we run this Christian race, our goal is to run in such a way that we may win an imperishable crown, an eternal reward from our Savior. That's found in the law of 1 Corinthians 3 and 12 through 14. And we know that this requires personal discipline. It requires hard work and continual improvement. It includes a spirit. It enables commitment to do our very best for the Lord. We know that that takes perseverance and all our effort and a push to become increasingly like Christ. But running that way is worth it, for the prize will last forever. So run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. So we know that our great achievement, it requires our great perseverance. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. And we also know that everyone is looking for happiness, and people follow many avenues trying to find it. They look for it in money. They look for it in parties. They look for it in self-improvement programs. They look for it in fancy cars. They look for it in luxury homes, or even promoting a cause. But see, that's the wrong list. We know that the right list is found in Matthew 5. Jesus taught us that deep and lasting happiness comes from being right with God. He said we are blessed or happy when we are poor in spirit, recognizing our desperate need for God, and mourning, realizing that the awfulness of our sins, and being genuinely sorry for it. Then we are to be meek, demonstrating self-control, even when we are mistreated. Hungry and thirsty for righteousness, longing to be holy and pure. Hallelujah. Merciful, showing mercy to others just as God showed mercy to us. Then pure in heart, being single-minded and sincere in our devotion to Christ. Peacemakers, sharing the peace of Christ, offers and promoting peace with one another. Persecuted, being willing to suffer for Jesus' sake, looking for happiness. And we can find happiness by following Jesus' way. Happy are they who love the Lord, whose hearts have Christ confessed, who's by his cross have found their life, beneath his yoke, their rest. We know that happiness depends on you, not on what you have. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. And I hope that I pray on tonight. I didn't preach hard tonight. I just wanted to come at you at a medium rate on tonight. And I just hope and pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And in closing, if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California. Email address, JaniceAllAboutGod@yahoo.com. And that zip code is 95020. And we will allow these selections to bring our program to its closure. And until we come across these highways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.